Mini episode 1369 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Lounge original dignitary Rick Morris here, along with my fellow original dignitary Chris Galloway. We are going through division by division, picking the NFL teams this year, what we think they're going to do, looking at every division. This is our segment on the NFC East. And for a big picture overview, go back to our first one on the AFC East. And that takes up about the first half of it. We get into all the sort of broad overlying angles for the season. The rest of these ones, we're just pretty much strictly looking at what the teams in the division are doing. And my foundation for what I'm bringing to the table in the segment is from Fantasy Football Draftology 2021, available on the main page at fantasydrafthelp.com and thefdhlounge.com. And that is the feature, one run-on sentence for each NFC team. So they get a little more sardonic as we get into the NFC here. There weren't as many AFC ones that were dripping with that kind of tone, but as we get into the NFC, it's a little bit of a sharper tone from yours truly. So here's what I have for the four teams in the NFC East, and then we'll kind of look at them one by one. Dallas, they still have issues all over their defense and now on their offensive line, a longtime major strength, but in one of the worst major sports league divisions this side of the MLB AL Central, the man with one eye in the land of the blind may be king. Washington, with a baseline of decent quarterbacking to go along with a roster only lacking in the secondary and tight end, a return to the playoffs is not impossible, even if a deep run should be. New York Giants, in Danny Dimes' likely final year as a starter, he won't be the only scapegoat, as holes on the offensive line and various places on defense will also doom a team that is somehow worse than their garbage division. Philadelphia, whether or not the Jalen Hurts experiment works, the crumbling offensive line and questionable back seven on defense will keep this franchise in turmoil and despair. And for all of that, Chris, for all of that doom and gloom for this pathetic division, it will still be somewhat better than last year, if for no other reason than at least Dak Prescott is back. Dallas's offense should be chugging along, although they still had intermittent moments of chugging along after he went down. But, you know, a little bit better than last year, but it was a historically bad division last year, so that really doesn't say anything.
No, the NFC East was absolutely terrible last year, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I don't have Dallas winning this division. I have Washington.
Okay.
And I do so on the strength of their defense and the fact that they can run the ball and Fitzpatrick can sling it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has his ups and downs during the season. He'll have two or three games where you go, how is this guy not always a Pro Bowler? And then he'll have three games that you go, how is this guy even still in the league?
Right.
Through it all, I think Washington's defense will keep them in enough games to allow enough Fitzmagic to sprinkle on their season and to get them to the top of what is still a bad division. Here's my take on Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in them. I don't trust them.
Okay.
Mike McCarthy is a terrible coach. I don't think that's changed. I've never believed in Mike McCarthy. Still don't. And if you're watching any of the Hard Knocks, there's almost a Hugh Jackson clown vibe. taking another step. With Dak, that offense, but we're already seeing that Dak isn't staying completely healthy.
Right.
So I could see him missing, not necessarily, you know, half a season or whatever, but I could see that shoulder flaring up and he misses four or five games throughout the season. That's the case. And they have no backup. unless they can get out and pick up somebody, you know, before the season starts, they have just garbage behind him on that roster. So if he goes down, they're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that defense is got question marks and holes all over it. Again, I liked what they did in the draft to a degree. They brought in a lot of bodies on that defense, but they're unproven. They're rookies. So I just don't have any faith in them. So I've got Washington on top in the East, Dallas in second. And again, that's one of those things, to your point. Yes, you could see a scenario where Dallas wins the division if Dak is healthy all year. I just don't think he will be.
Right.
And then the Giants, I just think it's an odd roster. Like, the offensive line, is they've been trying to fix it for like 6 years now.
Yep.
And they still don't seem to be able to.
Mm-hmm.
Combined with Mr. Glass, Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
You know, he is dynamic for two or three runs a game, and he disappears, and then he gets hurt. Mm-hmm. Misses a lot of time. I have no faith in him. Daniel Jones, yeah, he looked lost at times last year.
Yep.
Now, granted, new coach, new system, no offseason. You know, a guy who was already struggling to be a starter in this league. Last year didn't help him. But how can anyone have any faith in Daniel Jones going into this season?
No, I never have. I never have. I'm a Daniel Jones disbeliever hipster.
Yeah, no, it's just, I don't know how you can have any. Now, well, yeah, listen, you know, he can prove us all wrong. I don't think it's happening.
Right.
Philadelphia, in my opinion, is hot garbage. Devontae Smith is going to get banged up. He's going to probably play half the season because he won't be able to stay healthy this week, I think. He's too small. He's going to have problems. That offensive line is falling apart. I don't think they can run the ball. And let's be honest, the back end of that defense is not very good. So how can you have any belief in the Eagles to win more than maybe five games this season? So that's how I see it playing out. I see Washington eking it out over Dallas. Prescott missing some games. The games he doesn't play, they're going to lose. And then, you know, the Giants and the Eagles, you know, pulling up the rear. And then you're going to see some changes in Philly. You'll see a new quarterback. For right or wrong, regardless of what Hurts does, they'll finally do what they should have done. They'll fully gut that roster. The Giants will change management and start all over. And so those two teams, their futures in the near term don't look very good.
No, they don't. I've got the Eagles at 5-12, Giants 6-10. I do have both Dallas and Washington at 9-8, with Dallas winning the tiebreaker and making the playoffs. So you and I really don't disagree that much on Dallas and Washington. I will say this as far as it goes with Washington. They appear to be shooting for a theme here. As far as a new team name for them and logo, may I suggest that the logo is Ryan Fitzpatrick's face and the Washington team name is Interims, because they haven't picked a new name yet and Fitzpatrick is their quarterback. Both are interim.
Yep, that's exactly right. I mean, Fitzpatrick's a 1 year and they're going to have to figure out what it is they're doing with quarterback next year. And that's going to handicap that franchise until they have that quarterback. And I don't know next year how they, you know, with what they have in draft capital, I don't think they're getting one of the top guys unless they mortgage the future to, you know, to move up, to go get a, you know, a Sam Howell or whoever. So, you know, they have a great defense, but they've got a ceiling, of 9 to 10 wins because for that very reason that you've just outlined, they just, you know, Fitzpatrick is a stopgap.
Yeah, and they're not going anywhere if they make it into the playoffs. You know, that's
no, not at all. They're going to get into the playoffs, and I think let me take a look at my notes here, how I have that break now. And I have them hosting, obviously, in the beginning, and then bowing out in the first round.
Okay, and I actually see Dallas making it through the first round purely because of who they're going to draw in the first round. And then I don't have Dallas going any further than that. And we will get to those, of course, in a subsequent segment here. And in looking at this again, you know, with Dallas and Washington, you know, they're sort of the teams to beat here purely by default because of, again, I agree with you how bad the Giants and the Eagles are. And there are different teams out there that over a period of time have had different motivational slogans, you know, whether it be win one for the Gipper or whatever. Ron Rivera throwing his hat in the ring this week with, hey, the vaccine won't give you a third nipple.
Ron Rivera has got to be frustrated. A cancer survivor, weakened immune system. His team has seen what he's been through, and he can't get his guys to, you know, take a vaccine and protect his health. So that's just got to be. He's just got to be frustrated.
Exactly. And there was something that was kind of funny where he was talking to the media, and he didn't name what player it was, but a player who very proudly told him he'd just gotten the vaccine and everything, and Rivera was like, oh, great, and the player was like, well, you know, I got a baby at home and everything, and Rivera said, well, yeah, and with this variant going around, and the player was like, variant? What do you mean? He had no idea.
I mean, imagine having your head in the sand that much.
Right.
I mean, that you just don't even watch. You have no concept of what's going on in the world. God almighty.
Yeah, that was hilarious. And again, yeah, Rivera is a guy who is, you know, very plain spoken on these things here. And again, we'll see if it's enough. I do think, again, I rarely, if ever, have him listed among the tippy top coaches in the league. I do agree with you that there is a coaching edge there if it comes down to them head to head versus Dallas. So,
come on, Riverboat Ron. Look, he's not a great coach.
Right.
But he's a motivator of men. He runs a tight ship. And more times than not, you're going to get above 500 with him.
Yeah.
Right? You're not going to get 14-3. You're never going to see, you know, a dynamic, interesting offenses, you know, coming at, you know, being developed under him.
Right.
You're just going to get a solid guy to lead the franchise. That's what you get with him.
Yeah.
And you know what? And in many ways, that's what Washington is desperately needed, obviously. Through all the tumult of the last few years with the clowns that they had in the staff and the front office, not to mention the biggest clown, the owner, then you end up with the controversy on the name. I mean, the only thing that's been a stabilizing force in that franchise for the last couple of years has been Ron Rivera.
That is true. That is definitely true. And what I said about Dallas, the man with the one eye in the land of the blind may be king. You could say that about Rivera as far as other coaches in the division. Even if the media is doing their best to pump up the latest fake tough guy in the league, now that Bill O'Brien's out of the way, everybody is apparently obligated to say nice things about Joe Judge and about how he's instilling toughness in his team and all these other things. You know, these are things that he can be telling people at the unemployment office after this season as he gets his just desserts in the wake of another failed campaign.
Joe Judge, another Belichick guy trying to be Belichick, and he's not Belichick.
Exactly.
Well, and I would even argue that Bill Belichick's not even Bill Belichick the way the media makes him out to be.
It was hilarious the way that went down.
You're still under 500 without Tom Brady, Bill.
Right. Right. And they wanted to hire good old Coach Josh to come in there and be their head coach. And Belichick was like, no, no, no. You don't want him. You want this guy. And they listened to Belichick. Yeah. They're like, surely Bill Belichick must have our best interests at heart. The way that happened was just so hilarious.
Well, this will be Gettleman's last year.
Yeah.
And they'll be starting all over again without enough draft capital, without a franchise quarterback. Then with a new coach, the Giants are like the Eagles are going to be staring into the abyss.
That's right. That's right. Now, each of them has won a Super Bowl in the last decade, so that'll keep me from feeling sorry for their fans. But yes, for folks like you and I in Cleveland, we've been through an awful lot of, thank God, not presently, what they're going through. So I guess a good parting message from us to them, the Giants fans and Eagles fans, is better you than us. So on that note, Chris Galloway, thank you so much for being here for this one, Chris. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this mini episode of the FDH Lounge. In our next one, it's the NFC North.